I'm thrilled about Dark Skies finally being released. It actually Tuesday is the official release date, although you can find it right now in many places, and you can place your orders for it. But for me, what's gratifying about it is when it was produced, as you pointed out, you were not one of the people that was watching it at the time, and part of the problem was the show was on at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I would submit to you that most people do not look forward to staying home on Saturday night. Most people are trying to go out, and this is prior to DVRs being in everybody's home. And so I think that we were just preempted a lot, and it was hard for people to get the run of the series. And now the reviewers have been extremely kind at looking at the DVD set because they get to watch them all in sequence the way we intended them when we produced them. So, like I say, it's really terrific to see that happening.
Well, let's talk about Dark Skies a bit. I did not watch it when it was on. I've been watching it now. I'm about 5 or 6 hours into it, and it's just excellent. It really is good, and it stands up very well. What I found most remarkable, though, is how it weaves in real-life events, real-life people in with the characters that you've created, including characters in the series that are based on real-life people that we knew, that we know in the UFO community,
That's right.
Jesse Marcel.
That was, The way that came about, first, it came about in concept. One of the things that my co-creator, Brent Friedman, and I decided when we first set out to develop and create the series was we wanted to create the unification theory of conspiracy, if you will. So we said, well, what are the two great conspiracies of our time? They're the Kennedy assassination and they're UFOs. So we said, let's put them in an atom collider and see what happens. And that's what the pilot's about. It's about Kennedy wanting to tell the truth in his second term and suffering the ultimate penalty. And what as we were trying to create the series, though, what we ended up doing that really allowed us to arc out the entire 20 hours that are on that DVD set and to make it make sense and to have kind of a internal logic was that we created a timeline. Three parts. Part one was real-world events that you could pull out of a newspaper or you could pull out of a news magazine. I collect Time and Newsweek, so that was pretty easy to go back to those issues from the 60s. In the center column, we had UFO events that came from my UFO book collection and from things that we were reading on the Internet where we just pulled various dates. And then when dates tended to line up, we said, now there's an episode. So we started to weave on the grand scale all of these characters. And one of the things that we enjoyed so much doing was exactly what you said, which is not only did we accept the challenge of weaving in historical characters that range from Howard Hughes, I guess, to John Lennon, to Timothy Leary and Carl Sagan, but we also said, well, how can we weave in the true UFO events that are the touchstones for ufology? And so in the pilot, you see Project Blue Book and Robert Friend, who is running it. You see the Betty and Barney. You actually go to Betty and Barney Hill's house and meet them. I think you probably already got through the episode where they go to Socorro, New Mexico.
And oh, yeah.
So, you know, not every episode had something to do with a specific character from ufology, but every episode tried to weave in something that was interpreted from ufology in the Dark Skies universe, if you will.
Yeah, Jesse Marcel is in there. Now, that might not be a real ratings grabber for a big general TV audience, but anybody who knows about ufology would go, aha, I know who Jesse Marcel is.
And you know what was great is the actor who played him was so terrific. We used him in our first episode after the pilot, the one that took place in Dallas the day after the Kennedy assassination, and also wove in the story of Roswell. So we introduced Jesse Marcel as he existed in 1963. And we liked him so much that we brought him back in, I believe, two other episodes to kind of give him a chance to breathe as a character. We found ourselves doing that over and over again. Robert Kennedy is a central character in the pilot episode, but we found him to be the actor to be so compelling, and the need to sort of bring some continuity to the Kennedy assassination and run it across the series, that we ended up going back to Bobby Kennedy, I believe, in 5 or 6 episodes. And I think some people, even though he started out as a day player, I think some people thought that he was in the cast because he appeared so often.
I noticed you had some fun. This, I think it might have been in the very first hour, is that there's a little document that flashes on the scene that I noticed It's a bill or a report from the Zabel Clinic or the Zabel Lab?
I believe it's the Zabel Psychiatric Clinic. You know, it's funny. People just we needed some kind of paper that he was looking at, and the people on the production just put. I didn't actually see that until it was actually in the show itself. But it's so there's a lot of those little kind of in jokes here and there. That one happened to be on me, but I think your point that people who are aware of ufology, as the Coast to Coast listeners are, will find that knowledge that they have gained over listening to your shows for years rewarded as they watch the series, because they'll see those little tiny things where, you know, a lot of people that write about UFOs in Hollywood, they're not actually coming at it from a point of view of actually having studied it that much. It's more like, hey, let's write a show about aliens. We actually came at it from the point of view of we wrote for the Coast to Coast listener. We were writing for people that had that knowledge, and we wanted them to feel particularly challenged and interested by virtue of the choices we made. So I think in that regard, whether we had the commercial success at the time or not, we certainly succeeded artistically, at least to the extent that Brent and I hoped to do.
Was there anything like NBC comes to you and says, all right, the X-Files is doing really well for Fox, we want an X-Files?
No, not at all. It is interesting. Let's just take that X-Files question for a moment. One of the problems we had when we first came out is X-Files was such a terrific show and people were such huge fans of it that some of the X-Files fans who would normally be our core audience felt that they had to stand up for X-Files. And so some of them actively took a passionate, attack mode on Dark Skies. And we have noticed none of that in the reviews of the DVDs, because I think time has healed that wound, if you will. But no, NBC was hardly looking for it. What happened is that Brent and I, after we created the framework for the show, we kind of fell in the rabbit hole. We decided that if we pitched a series that was based on the Kennedy assassination and UFOs, and we had the pilot, people would say, oh, boy, that sounds, I guess, interesting, a little crazy. I don't know where you guys are going with it. So we created an ultra-classified briefing book that literally had a timeline that I was talking about that went from 75 million B.C. to the year 2020. So that, and we broke the first, like, 13 episodes. And the briefing book was a black notebook. That inside it actually said it was a memo to the network executives saying that they were instruments of telling the truth about UFOs, but it had to be done under the cover of fiction as a television series. So we took that briefing notebook, we put a gold foil seal on it, slapped the top secret sticker on it, wrapped it up in brown wrapping paper, sort of like you'd expect to get a package in the 40s, wrapped it up with twine, and we went to the top three networks in one day, and they didn't even know what we were pitching. We just said, we got a big story we want to tell you. We're coming in. We left everybody that notebook. So if you can imagine, you're a network executive, and we leave the office, and we leave you this twine-covered brown wrapping paper, and you open it up, and there's this notebook with a gold foil seal. On the outside, it says that you accept the penalty of treason if you break the seal and you tell the wrong people. And yet they opened it, and two out of the three networks bid on the show on the day that we pitched it. And
that's very clever.
NBC got the deal eventually.